Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Now, while I was away on leave in July, I got some time to do a bit of reading, and one of the things I picked up was a very intriguing debut novel from a young French writer named Victoria Ma. Translated into English, it's called The Mad Women's Ball, and it's a fictionalized story based on actual events around a famous mental asylum in 19th century Paris. Very dark and gothic and full of just the most tragic injustice to women in particular. A story I'm going to remember for an awfully long time, and one which, it's one of those stories that if you hadn't been told it was based on truth, you wouldn't have believed it possible. Now, Victoria is a graduate of the Sorbonne University. She studied contemporary literature there. Also happens to be the daughter of an acclaimed French pop singer named Jeanma. But definitely this is her time to step into a spotlight of her own, because the book has already scooped several awards in France, and a movie version is about to launch on Amazon Prime just next week. It was a great pleasure to be able to chat to her a little bit earlier this week to talk about the crafting of the novel. Let's take a listen. Victoria, this is the story of a young woman whose father condemns her to the infamous asylum at Salpêtrière Hospital. And while Eugénie herself is a fictional character, very sadly, her story is not at all made up, is it? Tell us how you first came to learn about the asylum and its very dark history.
Yes, actually, the Salpêtrière Hospital, which is today one of the largest hospitals in Paris, was built before in the 17th century, first as a prison for women to rid the streets of Paris of beggars and prostitutes, any women that was deemed inconvenient in the eyes of Parisians. Then it turned into an asylum where you could find all types of profiles, actually, who were there. You had women suffering from mental illnesses and who needed to be treated, but also women who were inconvenient to society or to their families. So it could be a grieving widow. It could be a woman who was deemed too independent or actually too depressed. And the case of Eugénie in the novel is inspired by all of those different types of women that I have been able to find during my research. And it, she actually goes to the Salpêtrière and she is confined against her will by her father, which actually was the case of many women at the time in Paris.
The stories are terrible. After I read the novel, I went and did a bit of digging because you'd intrigued me so with the story of this place. And I mean, the stories are of women who were just sent away out of sight, of the unwanted wife, the husband who'd moved on and found somebody else, the brother who wanted to remove a potential rival for his inheritance, who simply declared them mad and had them locked away or, on a whim, sometimes for the rest of their lives. Do we know how many women suffered this fate, Victoria?
It was very hard for me to find actual records and numbers of women who were confined there. I know that some women were able to be released at some point because they had been cured. The point was not to keep them locked away for a long time or forever. But, you know, most of those women who were in this hospital, in this asylum, were actually from very poor backgrounds and very working class families. So they had absolutely no way to defend themselves. Mm. And so many of them were sent away just because they were a burden to their families. And some of them stayed for years, even till their deaths. But it was really hard to find exact numbers and records of that.
Speaking of records, tell us a little bit about how you researched the background for this novel, because there was a lot of actual recorded history and scientific notes that you could have drawn on of the medical research that happened there, and we'll talk a bit more about that. But talk to us a little bit about what your research entailed for this book.
Yes, I started by finding newspapers from this time. You know, it takes place in 1885. So I was able to find newspapers articles that were talking about the Mad Women's Ball and women who were sent away in the Salpêtrière Hospital. I read the biography of Dr. Charcot, of course, who was the main doctor over there and who took care of women who were said to be hysterics. I read also the biography of famous, I would put it in quotes, famous patients of the Dr. Charcot, such as Augustine or Blanche Whitman. were quite famous, and they were as famous as theater actresses, actually, because Dr. Chacot was able to conduct public scientific, let's say, experiments on those women. So some of his patients were very famous. And I find it very helpful to find all of the photographs of the time, because all of those women who were confined and who were sent away in this hospital / asylum were very much photographed. So it was, to me, it was very helpful to see their faces and to not only have names or not to have distant ideas of what they would look like, but actual faces and bodies of those women. So all of that combined helped me understand the time and place of this late 19th century Paris, and to understand better what was going on inside this hospital.
Just for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, I'm in conversation with author Victoria Ma, whose book The Mad Women's Ball is an insight into a period in French and Parisian history with an extraordinary story behind it, a true story. And before we talk about the ball, that is the central sort of point of this novel, you've mentioned Dr. Chacot, and you've mentioned something that I'm sure will have made our listeners' ears prick up, Victoria: public scientific experiments. Reading your book, there is reference to these events, and it's hard from the lens of 2021 to imagine somebody being treated on display as is described in this book. We have to remember these were the very, very early days of the field of psychology and psychological research. It was very much uncharted territory. The neurologist Dr. Chacot was seen as a groundbreaker, and certainly there was interest in his work and learning to be had from, you know, for other medical students. But from what you describe in the book, which I know is based in fact, it looks to us in 2021 like a very thin line between medical learning and exploitation and spectacle being played to an audience. How did it feel to write those bits, Victoria?
Yes, that is absolutely right. It does feel like you're mixing medicine with entertainment as well, and that was very disturbing to me to discover and to research. And this is what seems also very appalling to us today in our contemporary society. But actually, what struck me also was the fact that this was not such a long time ago. You know, the late 19th century is very close to us. So it also feels like we've come a long way ever since that time. What I discovered that is that Chacot was, I don't think that he was, I didn't want to portray him as the bad guy, because not everything is black and white. You know, it's much more complex than that. I think he was really trying to find a cure for these women. But as you said, the idea of psychology and just understand that these women had actually gone through trauma was something that they were starting to think about. But it was not, it came after that with Freud and the birth of psychoanalysis. But at the time, there was really this focus on women's bodies, and especially women's reproductive organs, who to them was the cause of their crisis, basically. So at the same time, while he was actually trying to find a cure for these women, he was concerned with the fact that this needed to be made public and expose these women and make it as a form of entertainment was a way for him to become more famous. So he also had something to gain in that, and that was disturbing to research and to write about.
As was the spectacle of the ball itself. Now, the novel is called The Mad Women's Ball, and it was an actual event that the high society of Paris paid big money to come to this hospital once a year and attend a costume ball with these women, where the patients would be among them, trotted out to titillate the public society. I mean, it's extraordinary to think it possible in 2021, but it was an actual event, wasn't it, Victoria?
It was an actual event. It lasted for about 20 years. So this was not, once in a lifetime thing. It's very complex, because on one side, this yearly ball was a way for these women to think of something else and to find joy and comfort in the fact that there was music and there were costumes, and it was a way for them to meet again the outside world. So, you know, we noticed that the weeks preceding the ball and the weeks following the ball, women had less hysteria crisis and were less ill, and you know, they were rejoicing in the fact that they were going to a ball. But at the same time, on the other side, this was pure entertainment and much more like a human zoo, actually, where you would have this upper class elite Parisians who would come and mingle with the crazies and who were expecting one of them to fall down or to make a scene.
Yeah.
These women were entertainment to them. And it's very tragic to think of it. And it's especially the fact that this was very, very little known. Actually, yeah. I had never heard about this before. And when I began talking about it to people around me, nobody had ever heard about it. And to me, this was not something minimal, you know.
Yeah.
It was very much... it was so meaningful and so revealing of this time and place that was this, you know, this dark history of Paris. And I felt that I really needed to talk about it.
How did you actually come across the story in the first place? If it hadn't been shared as part of your wide knowledge of the history of Paris, how did you stumble upon it?
It was just really fate. I just took a friend to the ER at the Salpêtrière Hospital. And while I was waiting for him, I just went along and walked, because it's such a huge place. It really does feel like a small district within one of the districts of Paris. You have streets, you have a huge park, you have a chapel. There's everything except bars, but it does feel like you're walking through the past. And I felt that, you know, there was a strong sense of mystery and a strong history that, you know, these walls were keeping secret. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. So just my curiosity drove me to research about this mm-hmm. hospital. And that is when I came across, the Mad Women's Ball, that at first I couldn't really believe it.
Yeah. And of course, the world still doesn't quite know what to do with inconvenient women. So it's very relevant to talk about the subject in 2021. Mm-hmm. Victoria, I'm aware of the fact that you've been incredibly busy, not just touring and talking about this book, which has done so well, but also helping to birth it in movie form, because the movie launches on Amazon Prime on the 17th of September. Le Bal des Folles, Melanie Laurent directing and starring in the mm-hmm. film. How much involvement have you had in the movie depiction of the story?
Well, actually, not a lot.
Okay.
I decided very early on that I didn't want to be involved in the process of adapting a movie, because first, it takes a lot of time, that this is not my profession. So I wanted to leave it to other talents and to people whose job it was. And at the same time, I wanted to also have the story exist through somebody else's eyes. And I thought it would be interesting also to leave it and to learn to, you know, just like a child, you know, you watch your child mm-hmm. go away and live their life. And that's what I wanted to do. So I actually just saw the movie a couple of months ago when it was, edited. And it really is a beautiful movie and a beautiful adaptation of the book.
I'm so looking forward to watching it. I can't wait. In the meantime, have you started work on the next novel? Are you giving yourself a break before that? Have you got ideas on what lies ahead?
I am. It's a work in process, but I am currently, yes, working on the second novel. So it's a work in progress.
And can you tell us anything? Is it going to be a similar sort of historical novel, or is it a completely different setting and theme this time?
It's a completely different setting, but I haven't. For now, I'm trying not to reveal too much about it, but it's I'm trying to find something that appeals to me and which inspires me as much as the Mad Women's Ball inspired me. That's what I'm trying to find again, and but so we'll see.
That was French author Victoria Ma talking to me about her book, The Mad Women's Ball, which is published by Doubleday, available in South Africa via Penguin Random House, and on sale at around 290 Rand a copy. The movie, Le Bal des Folles, it's in French but with English subtitles, will drop on Amazon Prime next Friday, the 17th of September.